In the end, Graham Plattner's past caught up with him, including a credible allegation of rape that ended his campaign this week. A serious vetting process early on might have disqualified him. Now, Democrats in Maine have until July 27 to find a new challenger for Republican Senator Susan Collins, a must-win race if the party hopes to retake the Senate. In today's Daily, Simon Montlake unpacks it all. Democrats face numerous other challenges heading into the November midterms, as President Donald Trump tries to change how elections are run and sow doubt in the results long before voting has started. Caitlin Babcock has our report. Also, like some of you, we were watching the World Cup match between France and Morocco yesterday. Watch for a report from Mark Sappenfield on our homepage. It's Friday, July 10th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Existing home prices rose to a new record in June. The median American home is now $440,600, up 1.8% from a year ago, the National Association of Realtors reported Thursday. Higher prices are keeping many young people out of the housing market. Typically, first-time buyers make up 40% of housing sales. Last month, they accounted for only 33%. Overall, home sales fell 2.4% from May to June to just more than 4 million units. Analysts had expected a higher total for the month. Mexico will request U.S. criminal charges over deaths of citizens at the hands of ICE. In the wake of the fatal shooting by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents of Mexican citizens Lorenzo Salgado Araujo in Houston this week, Mexico's foreign minister criticized the treatment of Mexican citizens under President Trump's deportation campaign. Mexico says 14 of its citizens have died in ICE custody, and three others did so during ICE operations. This isn't the first time Mexico has called out the role of U.S. immigration enforcement in immigrant deaths, but the criminal complaint comes at a moment when bilateral relations are particularly strained. "We can't turn a blind eye to the Mexicans who have died," Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo said. Also, a deep-sea dive revealed a thriving ecosystem under melting Arctic ice. A recent study found that melting icebergs in the Fram Strait, a passageway between the Greenland Sea and the Arctic Ocean, have been linked to changes in deep seafloor biodiversity. Drop stones, bits of rock that fall out of melting glaciers, can provide a firm foundation for deep-sea corals and sea sponges to live on. The organisms can then become homes in which other deep-sea critters flourish. The discovery is an unexpected positive outcome of glacial melting caused by global warming. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. The collapse of Graham Plattner's Senate campaign in Maine has state Democrats wrestling with questions over candidate vetting and whether the next nominee should come from the party's moderate or progressive wing. Simon Montlake reports from Portland, Maine for The Monitor. World leaders and technology executives from around the world are meeting in Geneva this week for a major UN summit on the future of AI. U.S. officials are mostly staying away from the proceedings, while China is stepping in to fill the vacuum. Aaron Glantz reports from Geneva for The Monitor. NATO summit host Turkey is enjoying a moment of increased stature, both within the alliance and the region. Key to its ascendance has been the flexibility it has displayed to maneuver among warring factions in Syria, Ukraine, and the Persian Gulf. Scott Peterson reports from London for The Monitor. President Trump has raised the public profile of the Save America Act, which does not have Senate votes to pass. Meanwhile, voters in November's midterm elections might encounter changes as a result of other election-related efforts the administration is pursuing. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. The automobile aficionados who come to the Route 66 Cars and Guitars Festival serve as a reminder. America once imagined itself most clearly through a windshield on the open highway. Alfredo Sosa and Harry Brutius report from Kirkwood, Missouri for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how reforms are helping Africa's oil giant rebound. As world petroleum supplies remain squeezed, Nigeria is stepping up in a big way. In June, its privately owned Dangote Petroleum Refinery, the largest in Africa, overtook the United States to become Europe's largest external supplier of aviation fuel. In the first quarter of 2026, the once nearly defunct state oil company brought in $2.11 billion, and effective collection has increased tax revenue by 45% in the first half of the year. The rebound is locally driven, The Economist has observed, noting that for the first time in the industry's 70-year history, Nigerian-owned companies produced more than foreign-owned firms. The Dangote Refinery, within just a few years, has increased output enough to supply 35% to 50% of the nation's gasoline needs. The turnaround for Africa's oil giant, after a two-decade slump, is not just a perverse windfall from conflict in the Middle East. Rather, targeted institutional reforms that reduce opportunities for corruption and help unleash the dynamism of local entrepreneurship have boosted this key industry. Since 2023, Nigeria has sped up approvals for new offshore projects and for the sale of foreign-owned facilities to local businesses. It also scrapped a costly fuel subsidy that drained public finances and contributed to corruption and smuggling to neighboring nations, without sparking the sustained public protests that forced a retreat by previous governments. This time, official transparency and public communication about the rationale and process appear to have helped. Nigeria's experience suggests that scrapping subsidies while avoiding a public outcry requires exposing their many flaws, including black market profiteering, according to analysts from the International Food Policy Research Institute. But when it comes to untangling red tape and related graft, there's still a way to go. Oil industry reps said this week they face a tangle of 270 fees, taxes, and levies from multiple agencies, and research shows a direct link between overregulation and corruption. A World Bank study acknowledged the need for regulations to address market failures or achieve redistributive goals, but it pointed out carefully considered deregulation and reform reduce opportunities for corruption in many countries. In Nigeria, opportunities for and attitudes toward corruption have the potential to keep changing for the better. Some 88% of Nigerians say it's wrong for officials to seek bribes. And a UN survey showed that citizens' willingness to report a bribe more than doubled between 2019 and 2023, while the rate of official action on those reports nearly tripled, from 16% to 45%. Africa is generating entrepreneurs capable of building substantial wealth, even in difficult conditions, Yinka Adegoke, a Nigerian analyst and editor of Semaphore Africa, observed last month. But it struggles with creating environments where that wealth can be confidently retained and reinvested. Stable environments that create confidence for economic progress can grow from greater trust in institutions and among individuals. Every move in that direction is a step forward for Africa's most populous nation and for the continent. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how she reaches for a higher view when the news is hard to hear. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Donald Keough.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.